How many blessings, how many things are we missing by waiting too long, by not having the courage to act in the ways that we know we're supposed to act? How many things are we not getting because we're waiting to see a sign in order to move forward that we aren't going to get? Welcome to the Grow Time Business Devo, where we explore God's principles for living a high-performance life. My name is Kenneth Ott. Today we're in Deuteronomy 2, and I'm going to read a larger passage because I was debating. There's two verses I want to focus on, but I think the context of the story is really important. And so I'm just going to read that, and then we'll kind of get into some takeaways. This is in Deuteronomy 2, and this is Moses, just for sake of clarity. Moses is retelling the story to the next generation, the kids of all the children of Israel that actually got out of Egypt and were stuck in the desert and then died in the desert. And these kids were actually going to go in and take the promised land. And Moses is retelling the story, okay, for their sake so that they don't forget things. And so this is part of that story that he's retelling. So verse 26, "And I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, 'Let me pass through your land. I will keep strictly to the road, and I will turn neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot.' Just as the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir and the Moabites who dwell in Ar did for me, until I cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord our God is giving us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through. For the Lord your God hardened his heart and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hands, as it is this day. And the Lord said to me, 'See, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit his land.' Then Sihon and all his people came out against us to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him over to us. So we defeated him, his sons, and all his people. We took all his cities at that time. And we utterly destroyed the men, women, and little ones of every city. We left none remaining. We took only livestock as plunder for ourselves, with the spoil of the cities which we took, from Ar, which is on the bank of the river of Arnon, from the city that is in the ravine, as far as Gilead. There was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all to us." Okay, this story is kind of gruesome in some ways. He goes and conquers this city, but I think there's some really good takeaways for our community, for business owners and leaders. Maybe you have a lot of desires and maybe ambitions that you haven't acted on yet. I want to speak to you. That's what was being spoken to me. I have those things. I have a lot that I've acted on. I have a lot that I haven't acted on. Or I'll say this. There was a period of time about a year and a half ago where I felt like I was being disobedient in not acting on certain things that I knew were for me, that I knew I wanted, that I knew I was supposed to go after. But for whatever reason, I wasn't actually pursuing them. I wasn't acting on them. I know what reason. It was because of fear. It was because of procrastination, because of not enough time. That slipped into disobedience for me. And I had to really come to grips with that. And I believe God's timing is perfect, but I also believe that we miss opportunities when we don't obey. Because it's evident in all of the Bible that happens when we wait too long. And I wonder for myself, like, what opportunities did I miss, right? I believe that there's really great things ahead, but in that time of knowing I should move and I didn't, what did I miss? And maybe you're in that spot right now. I want to talk to you about that. The core of what I want to discuss here is in verse 30 and 31. So I'll just read those really quickly. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through. For the Lord our God hardened his heart and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hands as it is this day. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his hands and his land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit his land. And so I think I want to talk about this idea of overwaiting. We have talked a lot in several devos about the idea of waiting and the virtue of patience and how waiting is active. Waiting is not passive. Waiting is not sitting on your couch. It's actually pursuing God's voice, right? It's working and figuring things out, trying to pursue the thing that then you will have to pursue, right? That's what waiting is. It's not passive. But I think a lot of emphasis is on waiting. And you don't hear a lot about overwaiting. We talk a lot about if we rush things, right? And I think entrepreneurs do rush things. I coach a lot of people and a lot of them rush things, right? A lot of them want to rush things. A lot of them want to ready, fire, aim, right? I want to do that a lot of times because we're excited and we like the thrill of action, right? And that's just how we're made up, right? So I think a lot of entrepreneurs do act too quickly and maybe waiting is a thing to focus on. But I also believe, because I see it, a lot of people aren't acting on things that they should be acting on, right? And that doesn't mean you're not acting. It may look like you're doing a lot of things, but you might not be doing the things that you know you're supposed to be doing, right? The things that you might be doing a lot of the easy things for you, right? The things that you enjoy, but you might not be doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, right? There may be those things that you are actually waiting too long on, right? You're waiting for something that a sure thing, right? Like a sign that this thing is going to work. You're waiting for something that may not ever come. So I think there's a lot to learn here. So the first thing I want to pull out of here, I think it's interesting how this story goes. Moses basically sends messengers to this king with words of peace. I highlighted that. And this is kind of a side note, but we shouldn't bring on conflict using our words. We should bring on peace using our words. It turns out that things work out better even when there has to be conflict, when we have not incited the conflict. Okay, so Moses sends words of peace, right? He's like, just let me walk through your land. I'm gonna stay to the road. I'm not gonna mess around with stuff. We're gonna buy your food. We're gonna buy your water. We're not gonna steal anything. And we've done this with, you know, all these other people. And so just let us walk through peacefully and we'll be good, right? He sends words of peace. And then obviously peace doesn't come after that. But it wasn't because he incited those things. He didn't incite conflict. He didn't start conflict. He didn't use his words to start conflict. He used his words to invite peace. And I think that's important in how we use our words. All right. But the first kind of thing about this kind of idea of waiting, right? Our action is required oftentimes for God to bless us. And we see that here in verse 31. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it that you may inherit his land. I actually like the way the NIV says it. It actually says, begin to conquer and possess it. It's not going to be easy to take action. It's not going to necessarily be easy to go after the thing that I have for you, right? That God wants to bless you with. In fact, You might have to go and conquer it, right? You might actually have to go and go through a challenge and a conflict in order to get the thing. Action is required for us to get the many blessings, right? It's interesting how this is written. I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. God started to give it to him. He started to give it to them, right? And the way, and I believe the way we read this, the way he started is he actually made Sihon's heart obstinate and hardened his spirit. Like actually, God, it's interesting here how God hardened his heart. Like there was a reason why, like God knew that this person needed to be overthrown and given to the Israelites. So he didn't allow him to take the peaceful route. I think that's interesting. So I'm getting ahead of myself, but it takes action in order to achieve a blessing. And oftentimes we're waiting for confirmation and a sure path before we take action. And it's clear here, like God begins to do something. And the way I see that is like, you get a sign, you get like you're waiting, you're looking, you're taking the peaceful route, but then you get a sign. God gives you a message, right? You know what you're supposed to do, but it's not really clear. Like it's not fully hashed out and you don't exactly know what's going to happen. And so the tendency is to like wait longer, right? Like we want to be sure of it. Like it's interesting because I start, I run a lot of different businesses, and over the years I've started these new endeavors and these new initiatives. And they're oftentimes the way that I know we need to go. Like, you know, we set a certain like 10X goal and there's only one way to get there. Like, or there's only very few paths to get there. I know it's going to be this thing or this thing or this thing. And so we're going to choose this thing. And that's the only way we're going to get to our goal. That's the only way we can see the path to get to our goal. We pray about it and I think about it and I meditate on it. And that, and by, you know, when it comes to me feeling confident that that is where we need to go, like I know we do, then I'm left with this decision. Like I can't see the whole way. It's not a guarantee. And, you know, there's probability for failure. And so I'm left with the decision of like, how do I move forward and take risks when I'm not sure if those risks are going to pan out, right? And so inevitably, if I wait, because I have done that in the past, then things just start to decay. Things just get harder. I never get like the absolute clarity that this is going to work. You're never going to get that. And inevitably, I've learned you have to start acting. You have to start acting in wisdom, but you must take action, right? I've begun to give, begin to conquer and possess. Now you go conquer and possess. You know, I love Moses and his leadership. You know, I love Abraham. I talk about Abraham a lot. It's interesting. Abraham was promised that, like a massive promise, right? Like you're going to be the father of many nations, but he could only get that promise if he obeyed. And the obedience was go to a place that I will show you. Like it, you don't even know where it is. Go first and I will show you. You wouldn't have gotten that promise if he stayed and he had a comfortable life. He was a wealthy man, a very successful man with a lot of possessions and family and all these different things. He had a very comfortable life. He wouldn't have gotten his promise unless he obeyed, which meant he had to go and he didn't know where that was. He had to take action first. You know, there was that story of the lepers that Jesus healed, right? The 10 lepers. It was interesting how it's worded. It's worded, if I'm remembering it correctly, it's worded, as they went, they were healed, right? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And it said, as they went, they were healed. It didn't say they were healed and then they went. It said, as they obeyed, as they took action, like they were healed. I think that's really interesting. When the Israelites cross the Red Sea, right? They had to walk into the water before it parted, right? So they had to go. They had to march forward into a sea before it opened up. Like, how many of you would be like, yeah, I'm just going to march into that sea and I believe God will find a way, right? No, you'd probably be sitting on the shore. Like, I know I would, like, I'd want to sit on the shore and wait for the sea to open. Then I'll walk through, right? But it required them to walk into it before it actually opened up. They had to take action first. You know, the story of Jericho, right? Story of Jericho is they had to take action. They had to like actually go to the city that they were going to conquer and then to march around it. Yeah. I don't know if you know, like, have you ever envisioned these battles? It's funny. Me and my kids, we just watched the third Lord of the Rings. They're kind of getting to that age, right? And it's interesting. In the Lord of the Rings, just like top of mind for me, like there are these gruesome battles, right? And when you think of some of these stories like Jericho, like when a nation is attacking another, in those days, like if you attacked a kingdom, they're not just going to stand there and let you attack them, right? They're going to start shooting you with bows and arrows and like, you know, doing all that kind of stuff, right? And so if you're the children of Israel and you're going to take Jericho, you take action and you're walking around this city, right? Like, You have to think in their mind, like they're going to walk up to the city and they may get shot at. They may get killed, right? They may get attacked by the enemy, but they had to take action first. I just think it's interesting. It's like this, I've talked before about not doing things for God, but doing things with God, this concept of like partnership. And it's not about being equal to God. It's about you both have a role. Like, God has his role and you have your responsibility in your role. Like that is a critical part. And we see that right here. God says, I've begun to give, now begin to possess, begin to conquer and possess. And it's like, he's like, go attack. And it's your job to actually take this now. I've given it over to you, like, but you've got to go get it, right? That's interesting. Okay, second thing I want to talk about here is sometimes conflict is required, right? God clearly brought them into conflict in order to give them a blessing, right? It's interesting how God hardened his heart. God led them into war. God led them into a gruesome war. They left no one remaining. Moses didn't want that. Moses sent words of peace. God led them into a war. And so sometimes conflict is required in order to get the blessing. And often there are challenges and things that we have to overcome in order to achieve those blessings. You know, a lot of times it's funny how when you, and this happens to me, right? You're pursuing this thing. You're like, I know that this thing is for me. And then something discouraging happens. Then a challenge happens. Something doesn't work out. You know, a deal doesn't close. You know, whatever it may be, someone leaves, you don't have a critical player. And then you can start to question, like, is this the right path? Is this actually for me? Is this what I should be doing? I think earlier in my life, I used to question that a lot more. I think that doubt would come in a lot more. And it's funny how we see in the Bible that doubt is like a cancer that basically kills the opportunity. Like if you have doubt, you will not achieve the thing. Like that is kind of, Jesus says that many times. It's very interesting how it's in the Bible. And so later in life now, I don't see those challenges as creating doubt or questioning where I'm going. I just guess I believe it more. I've exercised my belief muscle. And guess what? My success has risen. My probability of achieving those things, my track record of achieving those things has grown because of that. But oftentimes we see conflict as And we may think, it may bring doubt into our mind, right? But the truth is that sometimes conflict is actually the evidence that you're actually going in the right direction, right? In this case, it was. And I would say if you're confident in the direction you're going, like the thing that you're pursuing is the thing that you're supposed to be pursuing, the thing that God has sent you on a mission to pursue, then you should expect conflict, because the enemy will, I mean, if this is the thing that God's supposed to, that God wants you to do, then the enemy's going to attack you. The enemy is going to put things in your way. That would make sense, right? That's common sense. And so the conflict may be the evidence that you're actually going in the right direction. And it's oftentimes required to actually achieve the blessing. And the things that we learn through the conflict, right, are actually part of the blessing. It's like part of the tools that you actually will get to achieve the thing that you're trying to achieve, the thing that you're going after. So sometimes conflict is required. Third thing I want to pull out is faith is required, right? In order, Jesus talks about the power of faith. And I've mentioned it a few other times. It's like worth looking into. It's like, if you have faith without doubt, you basically can do whatever you want. You will get whatever you say. Jesus says this in various places. Faith without doubt is very powerful. But really to act in this way, to pursue something with conflict being like with potential conflict ahead of you and not having clarity about or absolute confidence that it's going to work, you must have strong faith, right? In order to take the first step, to take the action when God just kind of gives you a little sliver of what you're supposed to know, right? He just tells you you're supposed to go this way, right? I've begun, he says. You must have faith in order to take that action. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to take it. You must believe. And in order to believe, you must be the person who actually believes. Like you have to become a certain person who will achieve that thing, who will take that thing. And to become that person, to be that person, you must really know your place and your greatness that you've been given by God, your role in his kingdom. It's about identity. And that means you need vision, right? That means you need clarity from God on what you're supposed to be doing. And the funny thing is, in order to get vision, how do we get vision? We wait. Like we wait on it, right? And so it's interesting that the beginning of overweighting, right, may begin with waiting, right? In order to have the faith to be the person that actually can take the first step when you hear the word, follow me, you must actually have the vision, right? And that takes waiting. But once you have the vision, like once you know where you're going, then you must act. And it takes faith to act. In order to have faith, you must have belief. In order to have belief, you must be the person that has belief. You must have identity in who you were made to be and whose that you are, so that you can actually take action and believe the right things and have the faith that your promise will be fulfilled. Got it? Following me? All right, last thing. Bravery is required. I think this is downplayed these days. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, it may be long-term, but for most people, you don't live in a country where you're fighting battles all day long, like physical battles, and that's a good thing. And some countries are. But for most leaders in business, you don't necessarily have to develop grit and are you not forced to develop some of these qualities and like things like bravery and courage? Now, I'm not saying it doesn't take courage to be a leader. Just saying that, you know, like marching into battle and taking a city and eliminating its population, like leaving none remaining, you know, just because he didn't let you walk through his city. That takes bravery, a level of which is not common, you know, today. Like, we don't experience those types of things in general today. You know, thank God. But the fact remains is that bravery is required because the things that you're going to have to do are going to be hard things, right? Like there's going to be, as I mentioned, like conflict is going to be a necessity, right? And sometimes God actually creates the conflict that then you're going to have to go through, right? So bravery is going to be required to do those things, to take the action. It's not only just faith, it's actual bravery, right? Maybe you have to go take the thing that you're supposed to have, right? Maybe that is the thing. Maybe you're supposed to go take the thing, just like they did, just like they were told to. I'm not telling you to rob a bank or commit crimes. I'm just saying sometimes you have to go and pursue and conquer and possess. That takes bravery. It's not, so then that would say like qualities like passivity, if that's even a word, or being timid, or fear, or cowardice, or weakness. These are not godly qualities, right? But you do have to have a peaceful approach. You have to have wisdom in how you apply those qualities, right? In Moses, you don't see rashness, right? He's not looking for a fight. I think sometimes maybe immature leaders are looking for a fight to show their courage and bravery. That's not what this is. This is being a mature person who wants peace, wants to do things the right way, but is not scared to do what is needed to be done. That's the point. And you know, in business and leading any group of people, you need to develop courage to do what is required to be done. One of the prayers that I pray pretty much every morning, I started like maybe 10 or 12 years ago, is very simple. It's, give me the wisdom to make the right decisions and the courage to carry them out. Like, those two parts, the wisdom to make the right decision, and then though, because this is often the hard part, it's easy, and sometimes the easy part is, this is the wisest choice. I know I need to do this thing, right? I know I shouldn't work with this person. I know this is not a good deal. I know we need to do this, but it's going to be really painful. I know we need to let these people go. I know we need to hire these people and we don't see the income for it. Like, the wisdom to know the right decision, right? In some ways, that's the easy part. Okay, now you know what you need to do. The bravery, the courage to carry it out, that's a lot harder most of the time, right? Okay, I know what I need to do. Now I need to have the courage to actually walk it out, to do what is required to be done. And this is why most people aren't leaders. This is why most people don't achieve great things. Because to achieve great things, it is hard. You have to do really hard things. By the way, I'm speaking this to myself because, I mean, I don't like to do all those things. I know the feeling of knowing that I need to do something that's really challenging and icky and disgusting and like it's going to be hard, right? At least that's what you think about it. And then, by the way, you need to trick your brain to not think about it that way. But that's kind of like the initial thing, right? Is like, you might think about it that way. But then you actually have to go do it. That's the hard part. That's the kind of scary part. But bravery is required to do great things and to go conquer and possess the blessing, the thing that you're supposed to be going after. And so I got just a couple thoughts. Like, I wonder how many, ask yourself this. I've been asking myself this. How many blessings, how many things are we missing by waiting too long, by not having the courage to act in the ways that we know we're supposed to act? How many things are we not getting because we're waiting to see a sign in order to move forward that we aren't going to get? We're waiting for an absolute, right? A guarantee that we're not going to get. How many things are we missing? How much life is going by waiting too long for those things? The key is to move first. When we're told to go, we go. I think that's one of the things we learn here. And then you might be asking yourself, because I ask myself the question of like, how do we know when we should wait or when we should move? And so I thought about like this. Look, if you don't have direction, if you don't know where you're going, if you're not confident in like what you can see as what's for you, right? Your mission, well, then you need to wait. You need to actively wait. And waiting, go listen to the podcast episodes on waiting, because I think there's a lot of goodness there. It's active waiting, right? Right? And you have to be careful. It's not veiled fear, right? You have to be careful. It's not like that you know where you need to go, but you're still making excuses as to why you're not sure. In your heart, you know when you're supposed to do something and when you're not clear. If you're not clear, you've got to wait, right? And then the other side of it is when should we move? Like if you have that feeling in your heart and you know what you're supposed to be doing, like if you have that clarity of like, and by the way, I say clarity in the end goal, like clarity in the thing you should be pursuing, not clarity in necessarily the path. No, not guarantee that the path's going to be the easiest one. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you know what you're supposed to be pursuing, then you need to move. Because otherwise you're procrastinating it and you're missing out when you're doing that. Like you are missing out when you're doing that. Like I said, I was stuck in this for a period of time. And it's funny how you need something to shake you out of it sometimes. And that's hopefully what I'm doing for some people today, is like help shake you out of inaction when you know you're supposed to do something, because you're missing out. And I actually believe, and I'll probably get into this in another Devo, but I'll just kind of give you a little hint. Like, I think there's evidence, and my belief is that there are certain things that are going to be done, right? And if it's not you, it's going to be somebody else. Like, God's thing for you is not necessarily something that he's going to just wait around for you for. Like, because these are all connected, right? All these things were connected. Like, Moses had to do this on certain timing, right? And we saw that very clearly. This is interesting. Like, the first generation of the Israelites, they were meant for the promised land, right? They overwaited and they missed out. So God said, okay, the next generation's going in, right? Moses didn't actually get into the promised land. So I believe that you're going, it's not just always for you. Like if you wait too long, you will miss out on these things. Like we see that here. And so hopefully this helps you get confidence in moving forward on the things that you actually know you're supposed to move forward on. So I hope this is helpful and I hope this is inspiring in helping you run fast at that thing that you know you're supposed to pursue. For more info on the Business Devo, you can go to bizdevo.com. That's bizdevo.com. And you can get these in your inbox. You can get them texted to you in the morning. If you'd like, to learn more about me, you can go to kenott.com. That's kenott.com. And until next time, thanks and never stop growing.